Greetings and salutations. My compatriot, J3, behind the camera there, asked me, what are the five most used tools on your homestead? Like, serious question. And I had to think for a second. So the very first thing that I grabbed, A number one, is this guy. That's a hoe on steroids. I heard somebody call it a wataka. I don't know if that's a thing, but I have, for about a year and a half, use this thing almost on the daily. And I'll tell you, it will move some dirt. It really gets it done.
It's got like a tomahawk type hand or type head on it, so you can just friction fit it onto on a pole pretty easy.
And if you're doing agriculture, you're gonna have to have enough of these to pass out where you can have a work party. You know, here's enough for five people to get out there and get it done. Number two. These fencing pliers. I am cutting wire all the time around here. I'm working with wire. I'm building cages for the green beans. I'm building fences to keep things out. I'm building cages to keep things in. All types of stuff. It seems that I use those more than anything else. This time of year, the weed eater gets a lot of use because I've got a lot of fence line and that fence is electric. So I have to, keep the edges clean.
Man, I hate weed. Of all the chores.
I know.
Of all the chores.
I would rather take a beating.
But, hate weed eating.
But it is what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the chainsaw gets used a lot, but it's more or less a seasonal thing. You know, when I use it, I don't use it daily, but I use it in a very concentrated way in that I will take a tree down and completely process the entire tree. The limbs I turn into mushroom logs and we grow mushrooms on them if it's the right type of wood. And all the other wood gets laid up so we have a reserve of wood to cook with and heat with in the winter. So chainsaw for sure, along with a way to sharpen that guy, because dull tools are really not tools. This is the best $75 I ever spent, this Fisker's sledgehammer slash
it's a sledge-o-matic right
splitting
there.
Maul, the Whackmaster 5000. This thing gets it done. And I know some people will say, oh, but it's got a plastic whatever. I'm like, yeah, but
break that thing.
Try to
go ahead, break it.
and I will say, I do have the old-timey sledgehammers with the conventional wooden handle. So if we, you know, if we're at that level of degradation to where we're back to that and this does break, I do have backups. But I love this guy. This thing will split some wood. In fact, I'm gonna take this tomorrow down to my neighbor's house and we're gonna split about a winter's worth of wood in that day. Instead of the slow hydraulic thing, waiting for that, he's gonna stack it, I'm gonna split it. He's gonna stack it, I'm gonna split it. Until we get tired, then we'll do lunch. But I'm also of the opinion that there will come a time, for whatever reason, that fuel may not be as readily available as it is now. In that case, we need a backup plan for all these types of tools. And so I have a couple of those things to talk about as an example. So when the chainsaw goes away, and that's no longer a thing, here's an old German saw. And if you know how to dress the teeth on them, you know, you can keep them running for a good while. And then a more modern, lightweight version, something like this. A Silky Big Boy. This thing cuts amazingly well.
That is a firewood getter right there. These things are great.
It's amazing. So, you know, if you have the new digital stuff, awesome, but have that old analog stuff too. So we have that redundancy. You know, you're always going to have redundancy built into everything. So I use this tool a lot. The cordless drill is something that I use here. I just used it yesterday, as a matter of fact, putting up a hay ring in the barn. So, but electric. So that's dependent on electricity to be charged. So you'll be handing this in for one of these if times get bad enough. Now, the weed eater. So you'll be turning your weed eater in for one of these. You know, especially if you want to keep animals alive and have hay to sustain them through the winter. These things require, you have to know how to peen them. You have to know how to sharpen them. And they need to be set where they fit the individual that's using them. I just looked up and found this one, all metal, 100% metal, no wood in it. It fits my cut stroke just like a glove for $20 at the local flea market. That's my backup to the weed eater. So whatever tools you use, if you're using things that would not be usable if you didn't have electricity or gas, go ahead and be thinking about how did we do it back in the old days and have that capability with you. You can do a lot of work with a file. You know, for cutting new edges on axes and shaping things like files or something, I highly recommend. A tool without a way to sharpen that tool is incomplete. It's an overall system. You've got to have a way to sharpen stuff. Go out there and get files. Get plenty of them. Make sure you have that. Think about your tools. Think about the Achilles heel of each tool. Is it fuel? Is it oil? Is it weed eater string? Whatever it is, stockpile that stuff. But also ask yourself, how did they do it in the 1860s? You know, and go back to that technology. So when we go back to doing this stuff in an analog kind of way, it's going to take people power. So, you know, having one hoe ain't enough. You need seven or eight hoes to pass them out. I'm sorry, hoe is insensitive. Weed removal apparatus. We'll call it a RAW, the W silent, W-R-A. Silent W, RAW. Weed removal apparatus.
Non-desirable.
Doesn't that sound?
Non-desirable plant removal apparatus.
That's it. Because, you know, here a while back, I was talking about when you come to do the work, y'all bring your hose. And they did. Not just the tool. I'm like, no, you should.
You weren't nearly as productive as you thought you were going to be.
Didn't get much done. Leave her at home. Bring the tool. Like, that's, so I guess that's an important distinction.
All right, we've relocated to my place, and we'll discuss my five most useful tools here on the homestead, on the Salyer habitat. And you're looking at probably the thing that I use more than anything. This is my workbench. I built this thing out of all reclaimed, recycled materials, actually a bunch of wood that drifted ashore at the lake when I used to live on the lake. I just scavenged it and built it here. And I use this workbench for everything. I do all kinds of projects on it. Doesn't really matter what it is. I come out here and do it. Attached to my workbench, I've got a bench vise. This is probably the second most used tool around here. I use this thing all the time. You need that third, fourth hand sometimes, something to hold on to whatever it is you're working on. And this is just a small 4-inch bench vise, nothing fancy. It's one of the cheaper ones, but it really does get the job done. It holds the stuff that I need held. I also use it for an anvil. If I've got to do some small pounding on something really solid and firm. I've got it mounted right over the corner post. Oh, and then another thing to mention about the workbench is it needs to be really, really sturdy and solid. This one could be bigger and heavier, but it doesn't wobble much. I mean, it is pretty sturdy. It's planted in place. But this is mounted directly over a corner post, easy access, and it's really, really sturdy if you're pounding on it. Next most useful thing is probably some sort of cutting tool like this. This is my machete that I use for all kinds of things. You've seen it in videos. I use it around here all the time. I hate weed eating. I do not weed eat anything. It is my least favorite chore around the homestead. I don't weed eat anything. If I need to cut some low-lying brush of some sort, overhanging branches in the field or whatever, this is what I grab. I will probably transition over to using this a bit more. But I don't have a sheath for it yet, and for some reason this makes me a lot more nervous than this without a sheath on it. This thing is heavier, very, very sharp, and just seems more dangerous to carry unsheathed, so I don't carry it that much yet. So machete, any kind of branches, stuff close to the ground, I use this deal here. And plus, if I hit a rock on it, it's not that big a deal, it doesn't break my heart. I just take a file to it and clean it back up. It's just a use and abuse kind of tool. Next, number 1, 2, 3, 4 is just a cordless drill. I use a cordless drill all the time for all kinds of different projects. And this is a Ryobi. It's one of those cheap Ryobis. Ryobi makes some good stuff, and they make some crappy stuff. The Sawzalls, for example, don't buy one of those. They suck. I burned up a couple of those. But the Ryobi impact driver here, this thing is legit. I have built several full-size decks with this tool right here. The Speed Chuck is very, very handy. Drill bits, all of my bits that I buy, drill bits and just regular bits, all of them have that Speed Chuck. Just makes it really, really simple, and that's what I use for all sorts of projects. And this is a 1948 Ford tractor. This is probably the next most handy thing that I use a lot around here. I use the bush hog attached to the back to manage the tall grass so I don't lose the kids in it. I'm not really into landscaping or manicuring my lawn. I just keep it short enough where I don't misplace a child for the most part. But this tractor's been great. I've used it to pull down big tall trees when we had to cut some big ones around the house that were kind of leaning towards the house. I use this to pull them away from it. And it's just a really, really handy, robust tool having a tractor like this. All right, guys. Thanks so much for watching. I really, really appreciate it. Make sure you hit that thumbs up. Subscribe to us if you haven't done so already. And leave us a comment. Today's comment is going to be, what is your favorite breakfast cereal? See you next time.